Well, today we're doing a special call-in for listeners who'd be interested to get some tips from one Walter Fourie. He's basically a specialist on retirement. His career has been that of a financial planner, and he's just recently brought out a second edition book that he co-authored with personal finance veteran journalist Bruce Cameron. It's called The Ultimate Guide to Retirement in South Africa. Now, if you are interested in calling in and keeping your questions quite succinct so that we can get through as many as possible. If you are interested, join us. He's going to be answering your questions on retirement on 010-594-9771, or you can SMS us on 40938. I repeat, that number is 010-594-9771, or you can SMS us on 40938. Thank you very much, Walter, for joining us. You are from Ascor Wealth Managers, and like I mentioned, you are a financial planner. You have won distinction for this work. You've won awards, and you've just come out with this second edition book. No doubt that was because it was so popular when it came out last year.
Yes, hi, good evening to the listeners as well, Numbu. Yes, it's a second edition. It was released earlier on this year. We brought out the first edition last year, and we sold over 10,000 copies. And we just see that there's a major need for people to have a guide to retirement that covers all the basic aspects and also the whole process, to the build-up to retirement, in retirement, and also after retirement. Maybe later on I'll elaborate on the different chapters that we have and the different aspects that we deal with in the book.
Yes. So tell us, how does one calculate the money that they need for retirement?
It's a difficult calculation, but we always try and make it as simple as possible. So the most important thing is you need to know what your budget looks like. Okay, that's the starting point in any planning process. You need to know how much you need to survive. And that will help you to determine how much money you need to save up until retirement. And then there's a simple rule of thumb that we say for each 4,500 rand per month pension that you need for the rest of your life, you need to have 1 million rand in a pension fund for you to draw from. So if you need 9,000, you need 2 million. And that's a basic rule of thumb. So you need to calculate how much you need to survive on a monthly basis to cover all your needs, and then you can use that formula to calculate, to establish how much you need at retirement. And that's usually from age 65 onwards.
Yeah. So being a financial planner, how important is it to have a financial planner help you make that calculation?
Oh, it is very important. Retirement planning is not just a specific day. It's the day in your life where you will be the wealthiest you've ever been, because that's the day you sit with your full pension fund. And reality is people make very, very uneducated, emotional decisions. They suddenly want to buy a new car, or they want to replace the kitchen, and et cetera. And that's where you need a financial planner, not just to take you through the ropes, to calculate, to help you to understand the calculations, to understand the different options available, but also to understand the difficult aspects of tax.
Yes.
How do you deal with tax? How do you protect your money? How do you invest it to give you enough growth over the long-term period? How to lead and guide you through the market's volatility when markets go up and down, just to make sure that you make the right decisions. So it's not just about money and calculations, etc. It's actually holding your hand through the process and guiding you throughout the process.
I think one of the issues in South Africa is that many people have dependents. And obviously, once you have your retirement money, you need to focus on yourself, because people are living longer. So how should people treat this issue that they have dependents on the one hand, but they have to look after their money with their finite income going forward on the other?
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a lot of studies being done about this, and it's not just the South African challenge. It's worldwide as well, and we refer to the sandwich generation, where we don't just have children as dependents, but we have parents as dependents as well.
Yeah.
We haven't saved enough, and we found ourselves in the middle of the sandwich, providing for our parents as well as for our children. And it's important to always remember and pay yourself first. You need to look after yourself, because if you don't have money in retirement, you could be becoming somebody else's problem.
Yes.
So you need to make sure that your family also understands where you are in the process, how much money you have, how long this money is supposed to last you.
Yes.
And in reality, the other challenge that we have is people get older.
Yeah.
Because of medical technology and medical advancement, people get older and we're going to have to rely on our income for a longer period.
Yes. So retirement comes, you get this lump sum, you've never seen so much money in your life, and you need to make some decisions about your annuity income. So there are options out there in the market. Just tell us about them and, you know, what should inform your decision as to whether you take one thing or the other.
There are such a vast array of choices when you retire that you need to take into consideration. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try and simplify it by distinguishing between compulsory money and non-compulsory money. Your compulsory money is usually the money that sits in your pension fund. So if you retire and you have a pension fund or retirement annuity, you are allowed to withdraw one-third of it in cash, and that becomes then voluntary money. Mm-hmm. And then the two-thirds becomes compulsory money. And the compulsory money, you need to buy an income for pension.
Yes.
And at that stage, you've got an option to go and buy a guaranteed income, which we call a life annuity, and it provides you with a guaranteed income for the rest of your life. Or you can go and buy a living annuity.
Yes.
And the difference between the two is, in most cases, people find that the living annuity is better because if you pass away within 2 years, the money that's in the fund goes to your family.
Right.
Where the other one, the money actually disappears.
Mm.
Because you give somebody else a responsibility to look after you for the rest of your life. And the guarantee side, the company usually keeps that money. And that is really simplifying it. Even on the guaranteed side, there are different options. And then we also have the facility now where you've got hybrids, where you can actually mix the two with each other.
Okay. And then in terms of, you know, the law, the government has been kicking the can down the road in terms of this compulsory saving that must take place. Because isn't it, if you have a provident fund type of pension, you can cash all of it?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
Yes.
So basically there are some people out there who could cash all of their money, and they run the risk, if they don't get proper financial advice, of not spending the money wisely. Whereas if you're under the other system where you've got the compulsory two-thirds cash that you must absolutely put into annuity, then you're going to be a bit safer.
That's correct. And it's actually protecting people from themselves.
Yeah.
Because if people take the full amount, they withdraw the full amount and they spend it, then suddenly they become reliant on government to look after them again. And that puts a huge pressure on our fiscal situation in South Africa. And yes, we're in a difficult situation at the moment with all the parastatals, the ESCOMs and etc. So we actually just put more pressure on government to look after people. So the reality is to help people to protect themselves, to look after themselves, and then to go and buy a guaranteed annuity from an insurance or investment company.
Mm. So when it comes to you know, the place that you decide to invest your monies, what should one do? Because these days people are living longer. Before there was a philosophy that you need to, you know, not invest in very risky assets because, you know, you need to be able to preserve your income and so on. But some people argue that you need to put your money in riskier investments because there's a better prospect of a higher return, and therefore you'll get more money over the years in order to be able to survive, you know, up until 100 or however long you're going to live.
Yeah, it's important, and I think risky is something that needs to be defined as well. So there's risk in terms of volatility, which means the valuation goes up and down, but over the long term it actually provides you with better income. And then there's the risk of investing in something that is dangerous for you.
Yes.
And a good example, if you go into a pyramid scheme or in some strange cryptocurrency who's going to provide you with an income of 20% per annum, etc., stay away, because if it sounds too good to be true, then it usually is too good to be true. Then it's risky. So I think the risk that you're referring to is when you invest, you've got four basic asset classes where you can invest money with.
Hmm.
Now, the one that most of us are familiar with is something like property. Property can give you income, it can give you a rental income, and it provides you with a certain income.
Yes.
Then the next asset class is cash or interest-bearing investments.
Yes.
Also, we're all familiar with that. You go to the bank, you deposit, you've got a savings account to provide you with the income. And then you have stuff like bonds, which is corporate bonds or government bonds. Mm. And then lastly, we talk about equities. And equities is shares in companies like Woolworths or Fashinis, etc., where you spend your money daily. And if you look at the four asset classes, equities disease is the one that usually provides you with the best growth over the long term, but it is very volatile over short term. So if you invest in equities over short term, it becomes a risky asset.
Mm.
But if you look at it at a long term period, it becomes a less risky asset. And in fact, it actually becomes less riskier than cash in the bank. Because cash in a bank only provides you with a little bit of interest. And if you take the tax off the interest and you compare that to an inflation, then you're actually not saving that.
Yeah, you're not gaining that much, yeah. So I'm talking to Vota Fori. He's the author of The Ultimate Guide to Retirement. He co-authored this book with Bruce Cameron, who was the editor of a very well-known personal finance magazine. And so now he is here in studio and his time is precious and he is available for people who are listening to answer their questions that are pertinent to them around retirement. If you are interested, do call us on 010-594-9771 or you can SMS us on 40938. I'll repeat that number to call in is 010-594-9771 and to SMS 40938. So let me continue with my questions.
Good.
So, you know, people have different health experiences in their lives. And of course, if you've been part of a group medical scheme when you've been working, you've been nicely protected and so on. Now, suddenly you're no longer part of that because you've come out, you've got your pension, et cetera, et cetera. What sort of factors need to determine how one goes about investing in a medical type of insurance? Do they go down the route of buying a hospital insurance or should they invest in a medical aid, which no doubt would be quite expensive because you're getting that as an individual, not in a group kind of situation?
So the first thing you need to understand is that you don't get discounts on medical aid when you're part of a group. So even if you're on your own, you're a private individual on a medical aid or you have a group, you pay the same rates. So it doesn't matter if you're part of a group or individual.
Mm.
And the day when you retire, most of the medical aids where you are a member of will allow you to continue as an individual. So it's a question of just changing it to individual status, and you can have the same benefits as what you had before with the same premium.
Oh, okay.
What is very important, and this is something that everybody needs to take note of, is you've got to have a medical aid when you retire. It is one of the most important things. It's going to cost you a lot of money when you get older to make sure that you're healthy, etc. And there's a thing called late joiner penalty. So if you decide you don't need a medical aid, you're only going to wait until you're 80 before you get it to medical aid. You're in for a big surprise. Because in terms of legislation, the medical aid must then triple charge you or double charge you on the premiums that a normal individual will pay. So it does not help you to postpone the membership of a medical aid.
Yeah.
The right thing to do is when you retire is look at the benefits that you need. Because remember, if you're sitting with company XYZ, they've got different levels of or different schemes within the company.
Mm.
So it's not always necessary to have the most expensive in your fund. You can actually look at what your needs are, and a good financial planner who specializes in medical aids will help you to determine exactly what we need.
Vota, I'm so excited. We apparently have a caller. Thank you very much for joining us. Please tell us your name and ask your question.
Thanks very much. It's Paul from Cape Town calling. I just wanted to ask a question in terms of possibly my age group, early 30s and starting a family and things like that. Very often at the end of the month, we look at what we're putting away, if we are able to save, on top of a very basic RA contribution. And I've been advised that that RA contribution needs to be upped. It just doesn't seem feasible out of our, you know, our monthly expenses and then incomes to make that happen. It's just out of our reach. I'm hoping that in the back of my mind, things will balance out later on in life, or at a different stage. But realistically, we've got school fees coming up and, you know, the expenses just seem to be mounting.
Yeah.
Is there any way or any advice that you can give kind of people of sort of early 30s, I would imagine, or between 30 and 40, where you need to start really considering the long term? How do we readjust that? Or if there is a readjustment that comes in later on in life, if you
Thank you so much, Paul, for that question. Vota?
Paul, thanks a million for the question. Yes, it's a challenge that most of us have is to balance life with planning for the future. The benefits of retirement annuity is we usually refer to the fact that you need to pay yourself first. So if you look at your budget, retirement planning is taking money that you're going to need in the future and investing it now. The aspect of using a retirement annuity is probably the best investment you're going to make in your life, because you get tax benefits in the process. Now, to explain this in simple terms, you take 1 rand out of your spending that you incur at the moment, and you put it away for your age when you're 65, when you retire. And at the end of the year, SARS refunds you your marginal tax rate on what you contributed. Okay. In simple terms, I take 1 rand, I put it away for my old day, and SARS gives me back 20 cents. So what you're getting is you're investing 80 cents and you're getting 1 rand's return immediately on it. So it's a no-brainer. It's the best investment you're going to make. Within the retirement annuity, it's tax-free. It's not taxed within the retirement fund, and it keeps on growing in that fund until the day you retire, which is 55 or older. And the benefit that you get then is the first 500,000 of that money that you put away is tax-free. So SARS is subsidizing that part of your business or of your lifestyle for your retirement. And we've got that benefit to use it. So if you can, make sure that you look at your budget, balance it, and try and get the maximum into your retirement fund.
We're pushing it here. You guys now start calling as we're coming towards the end of the show. Let's hear from the next caller. Please ask your question and tell us your name.
Hello, ma'am.
Hi there. Please tell us who you are and ask your question.
It's a bit sensitive. I would like to remain anonymous, if you don't mind.
No problem.
Yeah, because I want to ask about my employer. We don't have like a pension fund contribution or a provident fund, whatever. And it's quite interesting for me because I'm studying financial planning currently with a certain university. So I just want to know, how does one go about joining a financial, pension fund without the employer's contribution? Because through my studies, I realized if you start, or if you register, or if you join a pension fund, the employer is obliged to pay a certain amount. Can't remember quite well how much. But that's what I want to ask. Just know from the professor there.
Okay, Anonymous, thank you very much for your call. We're going to answer it in a very succinct fashion. Voter?
Anonymous, yes. Interesting, most individuals who do not work for companies, who are entrepreneurs, who run their own businesses, sit with the same challenge you have. They don't have pension funds. And that's why many years ago a company saw this gap in the market, and that's how they registered retirement annuities. So retirement annuity is a pension fund for individuals who do not belong to a group. You get exactly the same benefits as a pension fund. You get the same tax deductions. Everything is exactly the same. So you can approach most of the big insurance companies and speak to a financial planner and ask them to help you to set up your own personal retirement annuity fund, and then you get all the benefits that a normal employer will get from a fund or a company that offers a pension fund.
Thanks very much for that, Vota. Unfortunately, we do have another caller on the line, but we can't take that call because of time. Vota Fori, thank you so much, sir, for your time. He's from Ascor Wealth Managers, and as I mentioned, he has come out with the second edition of his book, The Ultimate Guide to Retirement in South Africa. It is available in stores if you want to empower yourself and learn a bit more. That's all we have from him. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.